both the Cars and Cheap Trick introduced the new wave sound to rock audiences. But who did it better? Which band had better musicianship? Which band had the better songs? Which band is more iconic and influential? Which band do you like better? On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, it's the Cars versus Cheap Trick. We'll tell you all you need to know about these two amazing bands, plus a lot of crap you don't even want to know. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Rock and Roll Circus, everybody. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. I am your ringmaster for this world of madness and insanity that we call the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Sitting next to me tonight in the co-pilot's chair is the lovely, the talented Ms. Lily V6.
What's up?
All the way from Rock Rage Radio. She has her own show, Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursday nights.
At 6 p.m. At 6.
Licks with 6 at 6. Gee whiz.
Super easy.
Super. Super. It's super. I'm feeling super tonight. This is super.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord. Okay, it's a little hot. I'm back down a little wee
back
bit.
Back that ass up.
All right, back that ass up. Okay, a few things real quick before we jump into the usual Wolf's Customs. Wolfscustoms.online will do an amazing job on whatever musical instrument that you play. What do I mean by amazing job? I do not mean amazing blow job. They might do that too. I don't know about that. But what the kind of job they do is paint jobs, custom finishes, things like that. They can really take whatever instrument that you play on stage or, you know, on your virtual concerts or whatever you're doing and make it really stand out. Hey, guys, face it. Like, the instrument is part of the show, right? And, you know, and if you know anything about the Grammy Awards this week, you know that, you know, you got to do a lot these days to get people's attention, right?
I didn't watch it, but I heard about
Beyonce
all the things.
Beyonce and Cardi B. We're going to mention that a little bit later on.
Oh,
we'll get
boy.
Into that. So, you know, one of the great ways that without having to, you know, put up a stripper pole on stage and, you know, twerk and all that stuff, an easier thing to do is just get Chris Thunder Wolf Dodson at Wolf's Customs to create a really awesome custom finish for your guitar or your bass or your whatever it is that you play, your drum set. And, I mean, even like the drum head. The front head there on the bass drum, you know, something like that, anything like that. It just adds a little bit to it. Looks really cool in the light and everything. So go to wolfscustoms.online, get that taken care of. I also want to give a shout out to Rock Rage Radio. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Go to rockrageradio.com. Download the app. Some of you are listening to on Rock Rage right now. Kudos to you. And I'm sure you're loving it because you're hearing great guitar-driven rock 24/7. And Lily, why don't you give people a little insight on SOS 2020. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about it? Because I know that you have a little bit of information on that.
SOS 2020 is sort of a program to help venues so they don't go under. It raises money. So like smaller venues like, say, the Subalpine or, I don't even know, Jurgles is one of them, Craft House, things like that. They raise money through music to make sure these places stay open so we can still see live music, not live streaming, actual live music. And I don't know the website. I'm sorry.
I can tell you the website. I'm okay. Sorry. I thought maybe you knew it. It is SOS2020PGH.org. It's a very cool charity. Can you stand a couple of more web links? I'm going to throw them at you anyways. I am involved with something really, really cool that I think a lot of you guys would really like. And this is the Rockin' Pod Expo. This is an expo that happens every year in Nashville. Did not happen in 2020, sadly, but it is happening in 2021. And it is a podcasting expo. And before you go like podcasting, I'm boring.
No.
How do you feel about people like Billy Sheehan and Don Jameson and Ron Keel? How do you feel about folks like that? where you get to meet people like that and hang out with them, and they give presentations and they talk and they do interviews and all kind of cool stuff. Plus, there is a whole thing that happens in the city of Nashville that is associated with the Rocket Pod. There's different shows. These musicians are all there. They very often form super groups and get up and play. They do. It's awesome to hear them do covers. Last time we went, you know, we got to hear people like Michael Sweet.
Yes.
And, you know, different folks like that, just like with these, like, other, all these different musicians up on stage, just kind of like playing like awesome versions of like the greatest classic rock songs ever and some of their own music. It was very, very cool.
There will be a lot of people's heroes there.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of heroes there. Plus, it's in Nashville. Nashville's a super, super fun town. And I believe that it is, well, anyways, it's in August. You want to go? It's August 7th and 8th. I beg your pardon. Why do I want to say 5th and 6th? It's 7th and 8th. So check it out. You can go to NashvilleRockNPodExpo.com to get more information, tickets, and everything. And it reminds me, I have to get my hotel room this week for that. So check it out. And I will also be presenting, if you are in podcasting, there's a great educational track there, which I will be a part of. I'll be presenting on creating a funnel for your podcast and driving fans there and selling your merchandise and stuff like that. So check it out. Nashville Rock N, the little letter N, podexpo.com. And if you want to know more about what I got going on, go to lulombardimusic.com. Okay, that's enough of that. Holy cow. I'm like exhausted. Are we done? Like, is the podcast over yet? Like, because I just feel like it's just like
we still have a whole thing.
Oh my god!
I know, right?
Really? Oh, cry my knee.
But we can start it off with saying
I see some people look like they're commenting already. So what the hell's going on?
So we have Chris Thunderwolf and Raven are watching. Jared Grease, Beth, our good super groupie over there.
Like a good neighbor, Beth is there.
And Bill Damiano are all on talking.
Damiano.
Right now.
Oh, Damiano.
And Chris Thunderwolf got my guitar picks that I sent him. So.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah. Okay, guys, let's talk about the cars, and Cheap Trick. So let's start with the cars. You have some? Okay. You want to kind of give a little bio background?
I have some things.
Let's talk about them there cars.
Okay, so American rock band formed in Boston in 1976, emerging from the new wave scene in the late 70s. The lineup consisted of Elliot Easton, Greg Hawks, Rick Ocasek. I do love Rick Ocasek as a musician, but I also love him for his ex-wife, Paulina Poroskova, who is a supermodel. Just saying. Sorry, I love it. Benjamin Orr and David Robinson. Ocasek and Orr were they split the lead vocal duties, and Ocasek served as the band's main songwriter. The Cars were at the forefront of merging 1970s guitar-oriented rock with the new synthesizer-oriented pop that was then becoming popular. Basically, new wave and power pop is what they are. Influenced by proto-punk, garage rock, and bubblegum pop, they have also used rockabilly in songs such as My Best Friend's Girl, which is one of their very popular songs.
Wow.
They were named Best New Artist in 1978, and they got the Video of the Year for You Might Think at the first MTV Video Music Awards in 84. Their debut album sold 6 million copies and appeared on Billboard 200 album chart for 139 weeks. The surviving original members reunited in 2010 to record the album Move Like This, which was released in May 2011, followed by a short tour. And they do have a discography of 6 albums, but all very great albums, and there are good songs on every one of them.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And unfortunately, 2 of the members are gone.
Yeah, Rick Ocasek and
Benjamin Orr.
Ben Orr.
So the lead vocal guys.
both singers are gone.
Yes.
So there's no Cars reunion. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, they hung that up.
Yeah, that's I hate that. You know, it's very sad. But on the other hand, I also don't want to see people schlepping out stuff and it not being
quality
or what's the word I want? Like them not having the passion. You know, if you don't really want to do it, don't don't do it. It's like we're going to talk about Cheap Trick here in a few minutes, and I was watching an interview with Bunny Carlos. And he just doesn't want to tour. Just, he doesn't have the. He loves playing drums, and he still does it. And he goes around and guests a lot of times. He's popped up playing with people like the Beach Boys a few times and different stuff like that, just for shits and giggles, you know. But he doesn't really have the juice to like.
It's just not
schlepping it out. Yeah, he's just done with that. The Cars. Let's see here. Ben Orr had been in the Cleveland 60s band, the Grasshoppers. They opened for the Beach Boys and had their own fan club. They were even the house band for the TV show Upbeat.
I don't know that show. Sorry.
Rick Ocasek had made a name for himself as a producer. Early on, he produced bands like Romeo Void, Suicide. He later worked with Weezer and Guided by Voices. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Weezer's a thing for them.
Because... Well, I definitely hear, yeah, I can kind of hear like a Cars thing with Weezer. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for their, when they were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018, Scott Schreiner played the bass with them. So when they did the performance. So that was kind of cool. And they were introduced by the Killers.
Frontman. I can hear the Killers and the Cars. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was the final performance for Rick. But still a great thing that he got to be inducted in the Hall of Fame before he passed away. Even though we don't like the Hall of Fame much, they deserve to be in. So,
yeah. Yeah. If you're going to be put, if you're going to have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you better have the freaking Cars.
Yeah. And he got
And Cheap Trick is in the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah. Legit. Yeah,
so both these bands. Check this out.
I'm checking
another little fun fact about the Cars. In 79, they lost the Best New Artist Grammy to one-hit wonder A Taste of Honey.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I know. That's crazy.
I have little tidbits about each of their albums since they only had six.
Okay. Hit us, Lily.
So the Cars debut album, 1978, produced by Roy Thomas Baker, like we've talked about in the last two shows for things unrelated. It spawned Just What I Needed and My Best Friend's Girl and Good Times Roll, all great songs. Peaked at number 18 and has been certified 6 times platinum.
Wow.
The album was very well received for a debut album. Not a lot of albums get to do that on their first one. Elliot Easton said, we used to joke that the first album should be called The Cars' Greatest Hits because a lot of the songs are their greatest hits. And they knew that a lot of bands fall through the cracks after the first one, so he was very happy that they did make it, but there's that. So
that's kind of unusual because there was a period of time during that era where really it was like the fourth album was where the band, like Toto 4 was like, boom. Like they were out and they were doing songs, but when they did Toto 4 with Rosanna and Africa and I Know You Won't Hold Me Back, I'll Hold You Back Now, and all the songs... you know, that was like Chicago 4, like all these bands like Led Zeppelin 4, you know, that's when like the bands kind of figured out the songwriting and the producing and like what they were going to be and kind of figured out how to like work their sound in so that it like made sense on rock radio and stuff like that. But the Cars come out swinging right from the stop.
It's very unique sound too. Like you can totally tell when the vocals, actually any of the part of the song, but when the vocals kick in, you definitely know it's the Cars.
They are. I absolutely agree with you on the vocals for sure. But I think that like you can tell the Cars from the first note.
Yeah.
There's just something about the way it's just something about their sound.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, and if you came across this, I heard this one time, and I think that this is bullshit. Maybe somebody in the maybe Jared Grease, maybe you know this.
He is listening, so
because you're a guitarist. I heard this, and I heard an interview with Elliot Easton, and he said that when they were like, you know, trying to get signed or whatever, somebody at the at one of the record labels said, "Well, you know, it doesn't look right." Because all the guitars are pointing the same direction.
You know, I actually kind of believe that.
And so Elliot Easton turned the guitar around and started playing left-handed so that they would have a nice, you know, kind of a better symmetry on stage with the... Can somebody confirm that? Like, when I heard him say... And he came out of his mouth, but I kind of thought that he was fucking with... Excuse me. the interviewer. Like, and bands have been known to try to have fun at the press's expense. This is a thing that bands have been doing forever. They just make up crazy stories. It's like when Van Halen, came out with the Sammy Hagar came out. They told Rolling Stone and Musician Magazine, like, oh yeah, Sammy was our original singer. You know, Dave was just in there kind of filling in until Sammy was able to, you know, commit to it. He had prior engagement. We were just waiting for Sammy. It was total BS. It absolutely was not what happened. They just felt like, I don't care.
You know? Probably do so many interviews, they just start.
They get bored. Yeah, so they're trying to amuse themselves.
That's what I would do, too, if I had to do like 100 interviews a day. I would just start making stuff
so
up.
I'm sorry, we're talking about the Cars albums. Go ahead.
Yes. Candio is the next one, 1979, yeah. Which...
Great album cover.
Everybody too. Loves the album cover. Has a pinup girl on it. Again, produced by Roy Thomas Baker from Elektra Records. Let's Go and It's All I Can Do. We're both on there. Bow. This album actually outperformed the band's debut, peaking at number 3.
Peaking.
Why? Cover art was done by...
Don't peak too soon, kids.
Wow.
You don't want your mom to see that those tracks there on your sheets.
In your sock. Anywhere.
Yes, always keep a sock under the bed.
Crunchy socks.
Yes, but make sure you wash them before mom has to, because that can cause all kind of... You don't want to embarrass mom. Mom's got enough stress.
She's got enough problems. Yeah. She had sons.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Crunchy socks. Go ahead.
The cover art was done.
That's my next band, the Crunchy Socks.
I know. I believe you. The cover art was done by pinup artist Alberto Vargas, who did all the similar artwork that is like that, the pinup girl on the front. Unlike the first album, Candio was created under a more democratic approach. Rico Kasich said of this, when one of my songs goes to the band in embarrassed cassette form, we sit around and talk about it. If I'm outvoted, we don't do it. We almost didn't include Double Life on the new album. It had been dropped. Candio was positively received by critics all over and fans all over. So
yeah, this is the thing about the Cars is critics and fans, they kind of like were able to cover them. I think part of the reason was they were like refreshing sounding.
Mm-hmm.
When they broke, there was a lot of like art rock, progressive bands that were really kind of like doing these kind of like longer pieces. You had bands like Kansas, you had bands like Styx, Yes, putting out these kind of like big kind of like epic type songs. You know, progressive. Even. He had songs that were like, you know, with all kind of different, he'd Come Sail Away, you know, big songs like that. And the Cars come along and they kind of like bring it back down and with a really unique sound and very, very unique sounding vocals. And for a band that's not British, I mean, Rico Kasich's voice is, you could tell he's very influenced by that David Bowie-esque new wave.
Oh, absolutely. That's,
this is why I put that in the description there, that, you know, I think both of these bands definitely had their ear across the water to what was going on. Continue, I'm sorry.
The next one is Panorama from 1980.
Panorama.
Like the other two, it was produced, again, by Roy Thomas Baker. It didn't really have any hit singles on the album.
Oh.
But it did peak at number 5. And has been certified platinum. The record marked a change from the upbeat pop rock and hard rock of the group's previous albums, representing the more aggressive and experimental sound. The single Touch and Go did peak at number 37. Excuse me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remember the song Touch and Go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DVE played that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear us, okay, because we're from the Pittsburgh area, you'll hear us refer to DVE or the And or the X. Those are the big rock stations here that we grew up listening to, so if you hear us say that, if you're not from the area,
just
insert your own favorite local classic rock or hard rock station.
Right.
So what's next?
Shake It Up, 81.
Shake It Up.
The actual last Cars record to be produced by Roy Thomas Baker.
Yes, because we know what's coming up next, because we talked about this guy who's coming up next a few podcasts ago. Go ahead.
This one's super pop-oriented. Its title track became their first Billboard Top 10 hit. And then Rhino Entertainment re-released the album on a neon green vinyl, which I have never seen. And now that I know that information, I have to go find one or I will die.
Please don't die. That would be a shame, Lily, if you died. I would cry.
Wow. Next is Heartbeat City, 1984. The band produced the album with Mutt Lange.
Mutt.
Mutt. It's the first album not to be produced by Roy Thomas Baker. It also represented a return to success of the band's self-titled debut album. There were numerous tracks from the album that received airplay. Drive, You Might Think, those both reaching the top 10.
Summer.
And then radio and television exposure songs were Drive, You Might Think, and Magic. Also heavy rotation on MTV. The title track served as the album's sixth and final single outside North America. Despite not being released as a single, It's Not the Night reached number 31 on the top tracks chart. The song Stranger Eyes was used in the theatrical trailer of the 1986 film Top Gun, but never made it to the soundtrack.
What?
I know.
Hold on. Keep talking.
Okay. Whenever the Cars performed at Live Aid, they played three songs from the album You Might Think, Drive, and the album's title track, alongside the fan favorite Just What I Needed. Mutt Lang's commitment to the Cars album meant that he told Def Leppard he'd not work on their album Hysteria. However, due to delays in the album's recording, Lang was eventually able to produce it. So he did both.
Wow.
Because he's fancy like that. You're just looking at me like I'm insane.
I was talking about this band the other day to somebody. Hanson. Remember Hanson?
Yes, I remember Hanson.
But Rick Ocasek was fired from producing that album after 3 weeks. He had a strict rule of no corporate presence during recording sessions, which was a problem for Hanson's record company.
They were like four, right? Four, five.
Yeah. They were a kid band. And this is not a show about Hanson.
Thank God.
But I just wanted to kind of bring this up. Also, I've mentioned, I think we did a show on underrated guitarists. I believe Elliot Easton was on that list as well. But Elliot Easton is a schooled musician, as in Berklee College of Music.
Oh, so super, like, good.
Yeah, like, you know, just a very, you know, guitar nerd, you know, just totally, like, knows what the hell he's doing. And I think that really adds to, you know, just kind of what he does with chord voicings. Solos, he's very versatile. I mean, if you listen to the solo on Best Friend's Girl, it's a rockabilly solo. It's like really good, you know, for a guy who's like supposed to be like a punk new wave guy. The Cars' first show was performed at an Air Force base in New Hampshire. With, like, there were hobbits and
wizards.
It was great. On New Year's Eve, 1977.
I was not born.
Ocasek's father worked for NASA on top secret projects. Rick called one time when the government agents visited his house and questioned his mother about the dreams his father had at night. Ooh. Strange.
That's not weird at all.
Strange. Something is afoot. Oh, my goodness. Before the death of Orr, Ocasek ruled out any possibility of a Cars reunion, saying that he would rather have hot diarrhea for 6 months than tour with the Cars for 6 months.
Oh.
So he'd rather have diarrhea than tour with the Cars.
That's awful. I'd probably rather tour with the Cars. I'm just saying. That's just me, though. I'm not Rick.
Did you mention this? Did you mention Milkwood?
No.
Ocasek and Orr recorded an album together. Before the Cars, under the name Milkwood, Hawks played keyboards on it. So their keyboard player also played keyboards on that. And did you mention about Paulina and the video?
I did not mention the video.
Why don't you talk about that? You're Paulina.
I actually don't know about Paulina in the video. I just know Paulina is awesome.
Okay.
I guess she's in the video.
I thought you told me this. Ocasek met Paulina on the set for their 84 video to Drive. They got married in 89 and had two boys. Ocasek has four other children from two previous marriages. He was a busy man.
She's a fantastic model. That's all I have to say about that.
Wow. I think I'm feeling a little bit of lesbian love going on here.
I might feel that way about Paulina.
Paulina.
Borisova.
Oh, Paulina Borisova. You dumb and a bitch, you.
Anyway, they do have two more albums to talk about.
Go ahead.
Door to Door from 1987, produced by Rick Ocasek, actually, with additional production by keyboardist Greg Hawks. Three singles were released from the album, though only You Are the Girl reached top 40. This was the Cars' lowest charting studio album to date, only peaking at number 26. Within a year of its release, the band broke up.
Aww.
It was also the last Cars record to feature Benjamin Orr before he died in 2000. So, sad.
Yeah, it was, yeah, it's unfortunate. He had a great voice. I mean, he had fantastic.
Again, unique.
Really, just, I mean, Ocasek. I mean, I mean, he's, him and Rick's voices are totally different, you know, and it's very interesting that is this still a thing, like, where, you know, big bands can have two or more different lead vocals. I mean, that was a big thing for, like, Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
You know, Lindsey Buckingham, you know, all three of them had hit songs.
I kind of feel like it's not so much a thing.
Yeah, and the Cars is a good example of another band like that where, you know, different people sang different songs and they had, you know, were able to get over with that. And I think that's one of the things that makes them very, like, a really unique, interesting band. Before we start talking about the trick, one more time, check out Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online and talk to Chris Thunderwolf Dodson there about getting a custom paint job on your musical instrument. Rock Rage Radio, go to rockrageradio.com, download the app. And if you want more information about what we got going on here, because some new stuff is coming soon, you want to go to lulombardimusic.com, get on my mailing list. I send out fun emails, not like, you know,
spam
just, yeah,
stuff.
Spam or just, you know, buy my shit type emails. Just like we try to make it really fun.
I even read the emails and I...
Yeah,
I'm on the show.
And very often we tell funny stories about stuff and everything. It's very cool. So check that out at lulombardimusic.com. Do we have any comments or anything from audience members before we move on to the trick?
We have Mark Andrew Glinka says Cheap Trick at Budokan is one of the greatest live albums ever made. Beth thanked you for the serenade you gave her earlier. Michael Gold said The Cars is his vote. Medicine Hat. I agree with The Cars being rock/new wave, but I've never considered Cheap Trick anything but rock. Jared Grease says, I've never heard of that story, but he's assuming that he was giving the interviewer shit. And Charlie Doyle says, Lily and Lou, much love to you. And Beth said, you have fun emails.
yeah, and I that thing about the Elliot going lefty because some record company person said that. If anybody out there plays guitar will tell you that if he indeed did that, he's freaking amazing.
He's because obviously
it's very hard to play. Like, it's hard enough to learn the guitar the way that you're used to doing it, let alone the opposite way. I mean, just holding my hands the opposite way feels like totally bizarre. And I play it, you know, it's very, very, very strange. So, if you know, I don't know. I think so too. I think that was a, he was goofing on the interviewer. So, The Trick, who the people trickster. Are telling me is not new wave.
American rock band formed in Rockford, Illinois in 1973. Classic lineup was Robin Zander, Rick Nielsen, Tom Peterson, and Bunny Carlos. Randy Zeno Hogan. Do you know the band Bad Boy?
Sounds vaguely.
No, you don't. You know why? Because that's a nobody band. He was actually the original lead singer for Cheap Trick, and he went to Bad Boy instead.
Really?
So he left.
Doesn't sound familiar.
He left the band shortly after.
I was just trying to be cool like you.
Lee. I know I'm not that cool though either. He left the band shortly after its formation and was replaced by Robin Zander, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah, Robin Zander.
He's
one
a great
of those,
frontman.
Like, yeah, great frontman. Great, one of the great vocalists in rock. But go ahead.
With Robin on the vocals, the band recorded a demo in 1975 and played in warehouses, bowling alleys, and various other venues around the Midwestern United States, like we do here in Pennsylvania. And then the band was signed to Epic Records in early 1976. They did their debut album in 1977. Huge success in Japan. Like, they are, like, big, like, huge in Japan with the release of the second album In Color. The band would achieve mainstream popularity in the U.S. in 79 with the Cheap Trick at Budokan, like was mentioned in the comments.
I heard that what I wanted to say real quick was I was talking earlier, I had listened to there's a really long 2.5 hour interview with Bun E. Carlos on YouTube, intercut with like classic performances, TV performances, their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performances. And Bunny was like, the Budokan thing was just, he said, we played Japan all the time. It was just another gig. We didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
We played. And they recorded it. We didn't even, we were like, holy crap, when it came out, everybody was like, oh my God, the greatest thing ever. whatever.
Everybody
we
went crazy.
What? We did the gig.
Yeah. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, that and that's, yeah, cool.
They reached the top 10 in U.S. with the Budokan version of I Want You to Want Me and topped the charts in 88 with The Flame. Peterson left the band in 1980 to record a solo album with his wife, Dagmar. I didn't know that was the name. All Shook Up, produced by former Beatles producer George Martin, reached number 24. Cheap Trick has performed live more than 3,700 times and has sold more than 20 million albums over the course of their career.
Rock effing stars.
Yeah. They have experienced several resurgences, probably due to the fact that a lot of their songs are in other media outlets like video games, movies, what have you. TV shows. So it just keeps coming back. People want to hear what they are. People then learn who they are, and there it is. Bunny Carlos, as of 2016, Bunny Carlos remains a one-quarter owner of Cheap Trick and as a member of the band, but no longer records or tours with the band, as Lou was saying earlier. And Dax Nielsen became the band's touring drummer in 2010 and had continued in that as of 2016. Nielsen also played drums on the band's 2016 album Bang Zoom Crazy. Hello, sorry, there's the rest of that album. And the 2017 album We're All Right. They were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016. It was actually held at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And the band was introduced by Kid Rock. Xander, Nielsen, Peterson, and Carlos were all in attendance. And they performed I Want You to Want Me, Dream Police, Surrender, and Ain't That a Shame. Actually, a big influence on the alternative rock band Nirvana. Kurt Cobain said once referenced his band as a 1990s version of Cheap Trick. They also have 20 albums.
Holy crap.
So
they got more records than the Cars.
Yes. They actually have one coming out in April.
Wow. Good for you guys. So, yeah, Dax still working. Is Rick's son, and he's playing drums now. Okay, let's get into this for a minute.
Okay.
Because there's some things we should probably talk about. So here's what happened. Carlos quit touring. Just didn't want to tour, but he remained a member of the band. And see, he and Xander had a falling out after their appearance on Austin City Limits, and it was because of this how much touring they were doing at their age. He just was like, you know, I just don't, you know, like can he we just wait? We're you know, what more are we going to get out of this?
We're old AF.
And so in 2012. The band stopped contacting Carlos about any business decisions, and they stopped sending him his freaking money. He's one quarter owner of the band, so he gets paid. Sorry.
That's
just how it is. They stopped paying him, and he, you know, according to Bunny, he regrettably had to sue. I mean, this is like, he invested his whole life into this. He's one quarter owner in this business. And he was like, I need to get paid. Like, you know, that was the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Peterson, Xander, and Nielsen tried to get the case dismissed. The court was like, not so fast. And eventually they did settle the lawsuit. Sadly, it really just ruined the friendship with him. And there have been some nasty words in the music press from Nielsen and stuff towards Bunny. It's just a sad thing. Sometimes this stuff happens in the music business. This reminded me a bit of the Eagles trying to get rid of Don Felder. But what the Eagles did was they paid him to leave. They bought him out. And, you know, the Eagles with all the hits they had. Imagine how much he got paid. I mean, you know, so these things happen. It's a sad story. And I, you know, Keith, I know, is a fan of Bunny Carlos. And we were talking a couple of weeks ago, like, well, what was the sort of situation there? So I wanted to look that up and bring that in as part of the discussion tonight. Another thing that I think is really great or really interesting about Cheap Trick is the song I Want You to Want Me, which is like, well, it's a great song.
It is,
right?
It's very catchy,
and I've been
very poppy.
A couple of cover bands that have done it, and it's a super fun song. But I want to tell you all the cover, there's a gazillion covers of it. And some of these people are kind of interesting. Some of these names you may or may not know, so I'm not going to get... I'm going to skip around a little bit. Just know that there's others I'm not talking about. Tarantula was a rock band that did a version of it. Letters to Cleo. You guys remember Letters to Cleo?
Yes, and it was in that movie, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay, so Letters to Cleo does it.
With their version.
Janny Lane from...
Oh, I just got goosebumps when you said that.
From... I'm going to want you to fill
Warrant. Oh my Warrant. Gosh, why can't I think?
I Want You to Want Me by AC Rock. It was like an a cappella thing that they did. Dwight Yoakam, of all people, he has a very good version of it. This is why I ended up doing it in a cover band. We were a country band who all of us liked rock, and when we heard that Dwight Yoakam had done a cover of I Want You to Want Me, we were like, let's do that. The Balls, Daylight Disc, Tiger Tales, Lindsay Lohan.
I don't even want to hear that.
Released
version.
It in 2005. Remember Chris Isaac?
Yes.
Wanna love, buddy. No. Whatever. He doesn't sing it like that, and I'm singing it badly. But Chris Isaac did a version of it in 2006. The Holmes Brothers did it in 2007. I'm just kind of running these down. Blue Canyon Boys, 2009. Punchline did it in 2012. They just keep coming out with it. Gretchen Wilson, another country artist, did it in 2013. Just kind of running it down here. Eric Church. Puddles Pity Party did it.
I don't know who that is.
Puddles.
You know I'm really old when I don't even know what that is.
You don't know Puddles Pity Party.
You don't either. Don't even tell me you
yes,
do.
Yes, you do. They're your favorite band. You can see them all the time.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. And there's... I don't know what this means. But anyway, so there's a gazillion million. That's what a great song
it's
does.
Like up there with Africa by Toto on how many people
it's
cover
like that.
It.
It's like Yesterday by the Beatles. Right? Yesterday by the Beatles is the Beatles' most covered song.
It's a great
Everybody
song.
Everybody had to do it because it was like it's a classic. And I think I Want You to Want Me is absolutely like those of you that are musicians, specifically like trained school musicians, jazz musicians, you know what the real book is. If there was a real book for rock, and they're probably sure that there is, I Want You to Want Me has to be in it because it's just one of those songs that's just insanely popular, insanely beloved, and just it's a great tune. Written by, of course, the guitarist Rick Nielsen. You have something to say, Miss Lely?
I do. Jared Grease said, fun fact, Rick Nielsen bought a Lefty Les Paul at Pittsburgh Guitars and later gave it to Paul McCartney. So that is an interesting Pittsburgh fact.
Pittsburgh guitars down there on Carson Street.
Unlike the Cars, a song from Cheap Trick did make it onto the soundtrack for Top Gun, Mighty Wings. Just want to throw that in there.
It was Mighty Wings.
Mighty Wings, yeah. I have two versions of that soundtrack because I'm a nerd.
One of Cheap Trick's biggest hits is Ain't That a Shame.
Yes.
Which is a cover.
Yes.
Little 50s tune. And it was always fun to hear them play that. They give it that like kind of real heavy rock kind of thing. But the vocals are killer.
Have you ever seen Cheap Trick live?
I've never seen them. I've heard, you told me you went, right?
I've seen several times. Mostly they're opening for bands. I saw them one time where they were actually the headliner. But I think they deserve to be the headliner on a lot of shows. But I think they want to be the opener on the shows because then they can go and, you know, sleep or whatever relax. It is old people do. I don't know. But I've seen them many times. They put on a great show. Rick is always dancing with whatever insane guitar that he has on stage because, you know, he's got like the 40 neck or whatever the hell it is.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay. But yeah, he had Hamer guitars build him a guitar with 5 necks. Now, he's been asked about this, and there was a famous interview with him in Guitar Player Magazine where, you know, he saw, you know, of course, Jimmy Page and Alex Lifeson playing the double neck, and somebody else showed up with 3 necks. He's like, okay, we're just going
enough
to
of this.
Like, we're just going to like, I'm just going to end this right now. Let's get the 5 necks. So he doesn't play it a lot, and it isn't exactly all that useful. It's a kind of a thing that kind of just,
it's a novelty.
He says he gets more applause when he whips it out.
I mean, I would do it. it's like the furry guitars in ZZ Top.
also, This is really cool thing about Cheap Trick too, is they wrote the theme song to That 70s Show.
I did know that. Yes.
It's called Hanging Out, which has a little bit of a surrender kind of, all right.
Yeah, they do the little chant in there, yeah. Which is kind of cool. I didn't watch The 70s Show often, but it's in the credits in the beginning, so I would watch that and be like, okay.
That's how you watch
it. I don't like The 70s Show, sorry.
Yeah, but a notable addition was the We're All Right chant borrowed from Surrender. Cheap Trick wrote and performed the theme song Baby Mumbles for Comedy Central's Colbert Report. It is largely the melody of I Want You to Want Me Backwards.
All right, then. The thing with Cheap Trick is they're a great band, but for some reason, record labels did not want to keep them on very often. They were switching around, like, all the time. Like, it's like, who's doing what wrong? Because it's like, they are a great band, but, like, for one record, they'll be on this record label, then they'll get dropped, then this record label picks them up, and then they'll get dropped.
I think a lot of times when you bring in a band to your roster with the name like Cheap Trick that is so iconic and everything, I think record labels are automatically thinking, well, no matter what they do, they're going to make $1 million. And what they're not accounting for is the fact that musical styles change and things like that. And even if the band is great and they have great songs, if it doesn't fit with grunge or hip hop or whatever the flavor of the month is, you know, it's not gonna happen for you. Did you mention this?
I did not. Go ahead.
Okay. This is really interesting, and I'd heard this before, and I'd forgotten about it until we started to do the research for this. But what you would not realize this, that Nielsen, Xander, and Carlos, what they have in common with John Lennon. And they all played on Lennon's and Yoko Ono's 1980 album, Double Fantasy. They are not credited, and it is unsure whether the songs they played have been released. But they were on those sessions jamming with John frickin' Lennon.
That's freaking cool. Absolutely. And John Lennon is one of Xander's idols.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned this offhand on the podcast, that era of bands, like, immediately following the 60s, those bands that kind of, like, mid, you know, early 70s, mid-70s, even early 80s, everybody at that point, even maybe mid-80s, everybody still was like, the Beatles. Like, we came up with the Beatles. I mean, I remember hearing so many interviews on Westwood One, you know, what got you guys into music? We saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I mean, that was Kiss, Cheap Trick, everybody, that was the thing. I watched a documentary about the band Chicago. We fell in love with the Beatles. Everybody.
I'm pretty sure everybody has them on their list of influences.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing. Now, then it changed later on as that became farther and farther in the past. You had less bands that were, influenced that much by the Beatles. That became like, oh, those are records my grandparents had, you know. But at that time, and I think that it shows... Nielsen, as we talk about his guitars, he even released a book featuring some of the wackier models, some valued upwards of $100,000. He tours with more than 25 guitars, but really only uses 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You got to have those other 20, you know.
Just in case.
You just never know.
I do love when he goes, like, he walks over to his little guitar stand there and he's, like, deciding which one to play. I'm like, what's he bringing out now? I'm, like, so excited to see this.
They were opening act for the Kinks, Kiss, Boston, and Santana. Gene Simmons talks about bringing them on the road in his book and how everybody in Kiss was like, wow. These guys
really?
Are freaking great. They knew that they were a great band. So Nielsen was also, he wrote most of their early songs, and in many cases, they were done from the perspective of various wacky and quirky characters that he created. The band adopted an unusual visual look to match this theme, with Nielsen sporting an outlandish outfit that looks something like a TGI Fridays waiter might wear on Halloween. what originally, when they all got together... I heard Bunny Carlos talking about this today. Originally, when they got together, they all had the same haircut. They all had real long hair. And Bunny said...
I can't imagine him with long hair now.
Bunny said that, you know, hey, I started to recede. And then he says, Rick cut his hair real short. And then he says, I cut mine. So he says, it made it kind of like a juxtaposition or dichotomy between the two. You know, you have the two really good looking guys with long hair, really like typical rock star looking guys. And you have the other two guys that looked kind of like weird, quirky, standout-ish. And it totally worked. When you see them on any of their, you know, video performances, by the way, they made several music videos in the 70s, which was unusual for an American act. MTV went on the air in 81, but they played a lot of Cheap Trick since they were desperate for American rock. Mm-hmm. So this got them in front of, you know, the MTV crowd very early. But that unique look really adds to the visual presentation of what they do, I think.
Yeah. Well, they're Video Dream Police. They're all playing a character, which I really love. And they're all very, very different, with Robin with his whole white thing going on. And, you know, Rick in his little hat and everything. And then Bunny in the suit. And I never can remember the other guy's name. And that's unfortunate.
Oh, my God. Tom, I know.
Thank you.
Peterson.
I don't know why I can't remember that.
Joel Peterson.
And he looks like the rock star.
His name is Joel Peterson.
And, you know, I love that spelling of Peterson, and I can never remember his name.
Peterson. Peter's son. It's like Peter's with a son at the end.
Is his father named Peter?
Peter's son.
Peter's son, Tom.
Peter's son, Tom. Tom Thumb.
You know,
I'm just a wee chap. I'm sorry. My apologies to like all our fans in England.
Because he's scaring me right now, speaking Cockney.
Cockney. It's that cock.
Did you know that Heaven Tonight was the first album ever recorded with a 12-string electric bass?
This is something that Tom Peterson is known for. It's a kind of a signature thing that he does. He does play that 12-string electric bass. It's very unique sounding.
You know, I didn't know that till today.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And you call yourself a rock fan.
Okay, look, I'm a chick.
I'm a chick.
I like looking at the guys.
You just set women back 15 years, thank you.
I was born in the 80s. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm a chick.
I like the word chick. If you don't like it, get off the podcast. You shouldn't be on here anyway if you don't like the word chick.
Oh, yeah.
But their new album is coming out in April. I want to pull that up here. It's called In Another World. It's coming out April 9th. The album's first single, The Summer Looks Good on You, which sounds fantastic, was released in May of 2018. The album was initially due for release at the end of 2018, though no release date was announced, and then the album was ultimately not released that year. The second single is the cover of John Lennon's Give Me Some Truth, released on November 29th, 2019. The album was completed by 2020, but the release was further delayed to, survey says, COVID. On January 28th, 2021, a third single, Light Up the Fire, was released alongside an announcement of the album's title tracklist, and the April 9th release date is solid. So I am excited to hear this new album coming out for 2021. Next month.
Probably by the time this is actually uploaded to Spotify, well, it'll be pretty close, around that time that the album will be coming out, within a week or so from that. What are fans looking like? More people leaning towards the Cars, or more people leaning towards... and it's just what you like. Look, guys, you know, I've had some people come up to me and say, you know, well, you shouldn't. It's not a competition. And I know that I'm the first one. I'm the first one to tell you that I, you know, the music competition among bands is totally stupid. This is just a way to get discussion started. And what do you like?
Right now, we are the Cars are leading by the viewers of the podcast,
which is interesting because Cheap Trick has more albums
and by far
has stayed together longer
by far
and has more members still alive.
Truth.
That's kind of important, guys, but our people in our audience obviously really love the Cars. Great. Both are great bands. Both bands have two of my favorite guitar players. It's very hard for me to kind of pick one over the other. But I probably will go is I want to say this too real quick. Speaking of Cheap Trick, there is, and you guys, if you're a Cheap Trick fan, those I know Fran Crasher immediately responded when I posted it you know, Cheap Trick. There is an awesome live at Daryl's house with Cheap Trick. And if you have not seen it, you must see it because Daryl plays with them and they talk about the 70s and you know, hint at some of the crazy stuff that they did. And it's just so freaking awesome to hear them, those guys trading tunes and Daryl singing the Cheap Trick songs with them and stuff. It's really freaking amazing. So if you have not seen that, check it out. I am, I just, for nostalgia's sake, I was always a little bit more tight with the Cars. It just was the time when I got into music, they were just really, really, really huge. And, you know, the rock stations here in Pittsburgh really played them a lot. They were so different sounding and so unique. I mean, you couldn't make you, they didn't sound like anybody else. Or like Lily said, you know, like a car song starts immediately, you know, it's the Cars. I don't know. I'm just personally, I have to go with the Cars. That's my personal favorite thing. What out of these two bands, kind of which one do you sort of like better?
Before I pick, now that we said that people are picking, we've got the Cars. We've got Utah Burgess of Shady Lady Studio will tell you Cheap Trick is the greatest band ever. We've got Cheap Trick. We've got the Cars. Cheap Trick is great, but I love the Cars for ages. Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick scared me. So, with that said, Cheap Trick is probably going to be my pick only because I've seen them actually live. I've never seen the Cars live, and don't get me wrong, I love the Cars, but I have to pick Cheap Trick. They're a little more rock for me. Not even because they're still touring, or not touring yet, but they're still creating albums, just because
it's tough. You're
think,
convincing me to go back to Cheap
sorry,
Trick.
Sorry, I think I just love more songs by Cheap Trick than I do the Cars.
Then, so it's a kind of even distribution here at the Circus.
Yeah.
Keith is not on to break the tie. So we will just say yes.
Whatever you pick is right.
I don't know which band is more iconic. I mean, they're both very iconic band. They both bands have like, here's what I would say. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just going to say this. In terms of pop hit song success, I think it's interesting that the Cars, how many albums did you say? Eight albums?
Six.
Six albums. But how many, but like.
Cheap Trick's working on 20 right now.
And the Cars have how many hits?
A lot.
Like more than Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so does that mean anything? I know a lot of people like that. Oh, the radio, the charts are BS, whatever, you know. I was probably more, would say that more about music as time went on, but not at that time. I think there was, you could point to the pop charts in that era and hear, there was still a lot of rock on the pop charts. There was still a lot of, even the pop bands were like playing a lot of, you had bands like Toto in Chicago playing like very sophisticated music that was pop. So, you know, to kind of like poo-poo that, I think you're being a little disingenuous. So I think that's the, I think that's what's the push over the cliff for me, is just the fact that like in six albums, they like freaking ruled, man, you know, and we had left us with these songs like, you know, that are just, you know, and Cheap Trick's got like a handful of those. They're great songs, but they're not quite as many.
Yeah.
Per, you know, so Cheap Trick does 20 with the not quite as many hits as the Cars are able to do in six. I got to kind of go with the Cars because I just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean?
Cheap Trick has just always been more entertaining.
I totally
for me.
Get it. I totally get it. And I would say, looking at the two bands live, I would have to go with Cheap Trick because Cheap Trick is, yeah, yes, definitely.
They're
way
they're
more
a show.
In your face rock and roll band. This is where I kind of get the new wave thing with the Cars, is because they're not shoegaze, but they're kind of like, they're not the kind of jump around and rock out
right.
kind of thing. They're that kind of like aloof, but kind of like what new wave acts do, that kind of persona.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like what a few years later, you know, Robert Smith and those guys kind of portrayed on stage. You know, you see the beginning of that kind of with the Cars.
Mm-hmm.
very interesting. Both bands like brought back, you know, kind of like, you know, went back to just rock and roll. You know, they brought us back to just 3-4 minute songs with, you know, get us to the chorus, don't bore us type of ethic.
That's my life.
Yeah. Absolutely. A couple of things before we get out of here today. Lily, tell them one more time about your show.
My show is Hot Licks with Lily Six on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I did just interview Plush today. They will be on next week. So check that out. They are like really getting high on the charts there. They are under 21 all-female rock band. Fantastic, influenced by the 70s and 80s. So check that out, 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursday's Rock Rage Radio.
On this day, 1959, the Platters, the doo-wop group, the Platters, scored the only UK number one hit with Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. On this day in 64, the Beatles set a new record for advanced sales in the U.S. with 2,100,000 copies of their latest single, Can't Buy Me Love. Advanced sales. People, that many people went in and said, there's a new Beatles song coming out. I want to make sure that I'm on the list to get it. Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Let's see here. On this day in 65, the Rolling Stones were at number one in the UK with The Last Time. In 68, the Otis Redding posthumously released the single Sittin' on the Dock of the Bay.
Speaking of Top Gun for the third time today, that was on the soundtrack.
On this day in 1970, Motown singer Tammy Terrell died of a brain tumor. Brain tumor. 71, on this day, Simon and Garfunkel, winners at the year's Grammy award, record of the year, song album of the year for Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Carpenters won best new act and best vocal performance for Close to You. Interesting stuff. Let me see. Nice day in 1977. Speaking of 70s bands, Paper Lace were number one in the UK singles chart with the anti-war pop song Billy Don't Be a Hero. Wow.
I like that song, though.
Oh, my God. Okay. And tragedy. This day in 91, seven members of country singers, Reba McEntire's band, and her road manager were among 10 people killed when their private jet crashed in California just north of the Mexican border.
All the tragedy.
During a Metallica gig on this day in 92... at Orlando Arena, fans dangled an Usher by his ankles from the balcony as trouble broke out at the concert. The band were charged $38,000 for repairs and cleaning after the audience trashed the building. You know, look, I'm sorry, man. It's rock and roll. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know.
Good stuff.
Just a couple quick birthdays. Real quick, do you remember the song Mr. Bojangles?
Yeah, of course I do.
Jerry Jeff Walker was born this day in 1942. So happy birthday to Jerry Jeff, who is also a songwriter for a gazillion million other people.
Only a gazillion?
Only a gazillion million. Happy birthday to one of my favorite people in the whole world, Nancy Wilson. Go back to the archives. I interviewed Nancy a couple of years ago. She was just so freaking sweet and awesome.
If you don't know who that is, she's from Heart.
And she gave me an entire 30 minutes. Just absolutely fantastic. I was it was the best 30 minutes of my life.
I'm a little afraid.
So that's pretty much it, guys, for the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus this week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us and partying and everything. We have tons of great shows coming up, so make sure you keep tuning in. We do these things live on Tuesday nights. So I apologize. The Hawk was not here. That was Lily's fault.
It was my fault. I will take the blame.
Yes. And
actually, because I changed the schedule on them very last minute.
So I apologize. My apologies to the Hawk as well. He's my brother, and I miss him, and we love having him on the show. Fun show tonight. So, you know, let us know, you know, what you like, and if there's any topics you want us to cover, let me know. One of the things I was thinking about, and this might start a giant argument amongst the three of us, and I don't even know, Lily may say I won't even be on this show if we do this, but I thought maybe a countdown to the top 10, top 15 best post-grunge. is.
I don't hate it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay, so that might be a future topic. I know that we were kicking around because every second Tuesday of every month we do albums. We were talking about maybe doing Toto 4.
Yeah,
maybe next month.
I think people will like
and
that.
So there's a couple things like that. Keith had an idea for and this is kind of keeping with the times a bit, of maybe a list of the like top folks that are like transgendered in rock and metal. Something we don't think about, but you know,
like the dude from Bane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kind of you know, just to sort of show the diversity out there. I think there's a little bit of a misconception that, you know, heavy and hard rock music is kind of like sexist or like closed-minded or something, when it couldn't be farther from the truth. So there's some ideas we're kicking around. Whatever you think. I know, Beth, thank you so much. You've given us ideas different times. So anytime, just pop in, throw comments in the inner circle, reply to some of my emails, say, hey, Lou, if you're on my emails, you got my email address. So just email me, and Lou@LouLombardiMusic, and Lou@LouLombardiMusic.com, and say, hey, look, here's an idea, something I'd like to talk about. Anyways, guys, check it out. Go to LouLombardiMusic.com if you want more info. Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at WolfsCustoms.online. We'll go ahead and do an awesome job on your guitar. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio. And if you are so inclined, make a trip to put your vacation this year for Nashville, August 6th and 7th. Am I saying it right?
It's 6th through 8th, technically.
It's 6th through the 8th.
But all the good stuff happens 7th and 8th.
The 7th, 7th and 8th. So check it out. If you want to go to Nashville, rockandpodexpo.com for more info on that. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And we're going to catch all y'all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Have a great one. Ain't no fun.